Good morning. It's Tuesday, June the 18th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Well, it's Tuesday, and you know what that means. I've got people now in my hometown of Gillette, Arkansas, inviting me over for tacos on Tuesdays now. How about that? It's Taco Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to some. But we've got a day between us and the tacos. So let's prepare our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our bodies, our spirits, to belong to Jesus today, to be His in this world, because to the extent that we are His in this world today, on earth as it is in heaven, is within reach, because that's what He does everywhere He goes. So wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, The Power of a Persistent Conversation. Our text is from Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. The word of the Lord. And wow. We'll get to some of that tomorrow. But now consider this. Conversations matter, and conversations about faith really matter. And conversations about faith with people who do not yet believe may matter the most. Preaching and teaching are critically important in the work of the gospel. But it's easy to slip into thinking this is primarily how salvation happens. You know the story. Some awesome preacher preaches a powerful sermon, makes an invitation to come forward, and people respond and are saved. Isn't that what happened at Pentecost with Peter, and some 3,000 people responded to the invitation? Most of the time, it looks more like what's going on in today's text. Paul speaking in the same place to the same people for 3 months, arguing persuasively and boldly. It takes two to have an argument. It requires conversation. It requires caring enough for people who don't agree with you and who probably don't like you to stay in the argument for the sake of possibly persuading some of them to believe the gospel. Paul was having conversations about faith with people who did not believe. He stayed with it until it got nasty, and rather than leaving town, he opted for a change of venue. He went from the synagogue to the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Get this. He went there daily and engaged in, quote, discussions, which is another word for conversations, for another 2 years. Conversations about faith comprise the day in and day out in glorious yet beautiful work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but my problem is I'm not in enough conversations these days with people who don't believe yet. The interesting thing about the Wesleyan movement in 18th century England is the way people came to salvation. It didn't happen so much in response to John Wesley's preaching. It happened in the conversations people had together afterward in the class meetings. And of course, the band meetings were the secret sauce of the whole thing. Don't hear me to diminish the role of gospel preaching. It is essential and imperative. I'm just saying that most often there's a lot more to it than that. It could be as close as your next conversation. The prayer. Father, would you increase my circle of people who do not yet believe in you? There are people I kind of know, yet who are really still strangers to me. Would you show me the path to an acquaintanceship with them? There are a number of acquaintances I hold at a safe distance, some of them even neighbors. Would you show me the path to a friendship with them? And there are friends with whom I have never even broached the subject of you. Would you open the doors and windows and grant me the courage to begin a deeper sharing with them of who you are to me? Even now, you are leading and helping me to pray for new conversations with all these people. Step by step, Lord, I will follow you step by step. Come, Holy Spirit, and make me a witness. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts. What about your conversations about faith with people who have yet to believe? How's that going? How might it get going? What keeps you from it? And for our hymn today, we're going to sing another classic. This is number 316. Take time to be holy. 4 verses, 3:1-6. 316. John 3:16. Take time to be holy. We're going to sing them all. And let's sing it in a contemplative spirit, letting these words sink into our souls. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Are you ready? Amen. Amen. I haven't sang that hymn in a while. I'm glad that we found it today. Take time to be holy. That's what we're trying to do this morning, isn't it? Or whenever you're listening in here, we're taking time. And you know, this doesn't have to be the only time for this day. I'm learning to try to steal away other times. I love that text in Luke, I believe it's in chapter 5, where it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I love how that starts with the but. But, I don't have my scripture in front of me, but I guarantee you there was something going on before that but. But is a contrast word. And it's showing us the contrast of what Jesus does and how he works and how he thinks. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We see that text in the Gospels. I think it's in Mark. It's in Luke probably as well. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, the scripture's careful to tell us, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. And prayed, of course, is just a code word for meeting with the Father, communing with Abba. So we know very early in the morning that was his practice. But we get the sense as we're following him and reading the story, he's constantly doing that. You know, I love in the Garden of Gethsemane, that night, the last night, they went to the garden, and then it said, but Jesus he pulled Peter, James, and John, it pulled them apart, and they went over to a section of the garden, let's call it the holy place. I guess wherever he is the holy place, but you get my point. The temple is not the building, right? It's the whole cosmos now. But Jesus pulls them apart. And then, even after going apart, it's like, guys, I'm going to go now into the most holy place, just like in the temple, right? There's the whole, there are the courts, the outer courts, the inner courts, the holy place, the most holy place. It says, but Jesus withdrew. There's that same word again, withdrew. It's this decisive action. It's a word that implies great intentionality. But Jesus withdrew, it says, about a stone's throw from them. And he knelt on the ground and he prayed. Think about how far you could throw a rock. That's about how far this place is from us at any given moment. At any given moment in our day, we are a stone's throw away from a meeting with Abba Father. Doesn't have to be formal, doesn't have to be fancy. It just needs to be real. And there's something about taking that extra stone's throw, little jaunt off the path, that signals to Abba that I'm here. I see you. I see you. And he says, I'm here. I think it signals something to our own soul as well. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide, there it is, abide in him always and feed on his word. There it is. That's how I've begun to try to do in my days here in Gillette. I just steal away to my prayer room. It's a lonely place until he shows up. And I often will start with a word, with a psalm or a scripture, a verse. Abide in me, I'll say, and I will abide in you, I hear him say. We've got the Word and we've got the Spirit. That's all we need, because Jesus is there in the midst of that. And he's bringing us into his very fellowship, his very communion, his relationship with Abba Father. And right there we have on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, from there, it just flows out into our world. I thought I'd say more about conversations and discussions with our not yet Christian circle. Maybe we can talk about that another day. I don't know. I just got pulled into this today. I always feel like the Lord is giving us a rhema word. A rhema, I think that means like a now word. So for what that's worth, there we have it. It's still Tuesday. The day is ahead of us. And, you know, don't feel the pressure to, there's nothing worse than somebody who feels pressure to come talk to you about Jesus. We tend to want to run from those people. Talk to Jesus first about people and let him lead the way. He cares more about them than we do. And he'll begin to put his care in us for them. That's the secret. All right, gang, it's time to hit the fields. It's another day to sow for a great awakening. I'll see you on the field. I want to hear about your Taco Tuesday as well. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.